Okay, so we left off in the middle of a really, really long sugya, complicated sugya with a lot of parts to it, but really a yesodah sugya in so many different fronts. So how do we get involved in the sugya in the first place? Because we have a statement of Rava that appears on Daf Tzadi Zayin. Rava tells us that pretty much the rules are going to be that min b'mino is going to be batal b'shishim, which is a pretty clear indication that he's not buying into Rabbi Huda's version of min b'mino and a batal. The problem is, there is another statement in the Rebbe, in the Sechah Bechah Maseches Pesachim, the Rebbe says, the Chavis of Pesach is Asa B'mashu, which seems to be, in just reflecting Rav's previous position, that the reason why Chavis of Pesach is Asa B'mashu is because Min B'mino in a Botel, and Goza Eino Minu Alto Mino. So it sounds like there's an outright contradiction between his Rebbe siding Rebbe Yudah and not siding Rebbe Yudah. So we saw already multiple answers to this dilemma. So we had one approach with the approach of Rashi, that in Achinami, that Rava really does postulate Rava. Rava really does postulate Rabbi Yehuda. And what he said in our sugya didn't really mean it. We had a little bit of a work from him in a frying place to try to fix that up. Then we had another approach, another extreme, that says that what Rava said in Chulin really, really meant it. What Rava said in Sochim, he didn't really say. What do you mean he didn't say it? Well, he didn't say it for multiple reasons. He didn't say it because he Tachin never said it. Because Ben Atam didn't have that one line, that one word, Ramashu, altogether in Rava's words. Or even if Rava said Chavetz Pesach Chavetz Bashu, he didn't mean that it has any shape or form related to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's really what set into motion our sugya. Assuming that Rava did say Chavetz Pesach Chavetz Bashu, we don't want to go down the river of Benetam. And on the other hand, we don't want to commit Rava to Rav and Rabbi Yehuda. So what makes Chavetz Pesach different from all the other Yisurim? So one approach to that topic was Tosfos' approach, that the concept of Chumr de Chavetz. And the other approach was the Rambam's approach, which always really set the stage for most of the sugya, and that's the notion of Dabash Yesh Tavativim. So we're going to pick up from that point of Shita Se Rambam. So according to the Rambam, the real reason for Rava, the real reason for the Pesach of Rava, the Chavetz Pesach is also the Mashu, is rooted in Dabash Yesh Tavativim, but we're still not quite sure what that means, how that plays out entirely in terms of the picture of Chama to the following reason. Rava made two statements. Amar Rava in Maseches Pesachim, Hilchos Chametz BePesach BeMashu, Bein B'Mino, Bein Shelo B'Mino. Both of them are B'Mashu. And it has something to do with Dovar Sheyesh Lo Matiru. So we can take two approaches to this. Either you can take the approach that Dovar Sheyesh Matiru is the reason, that's all there is, there ain't no more. There is no other reason for Rabbi Stop. In effect, Rabbi Huda is not accepted. Chum de Chometz doesn't exist. It doesn't play any role over here. It has nothing to do with anything else short of Dabash Yesh Matirin. In effect, what Rabbi is saying, this is not a Pesachim Sugya. This is nothing Mechudishtik about Chometz. This is no relevance to Rabbi Huda. This is a plain old din called Dabash Yesh Matirin that we all know from Maseches Nedarim and from Maseches Beitza and other sugyas and shas. This is classic Dabash Yesh Matirin, and Dabash Yesh Matirin explains both phenomena number one of the Mino, as well as phenomena number two. So that is a valid approach. I didn't blame the Rambam for that approach. I didn't attribute that to the Rambam yet. But once you're willing to insert the notion of Dabash Yesh Matirin, that would definitely be a valid approach. Another, almost like mitigated, almost like watered down approach, would be to take as follows. Dabash Yesh Matirin is half the story. Dabash Yesh Matirin explains away the phenomena of Mino B'mashu, but Dabash Yesh Matirin doesn't help me for Shulam B'mino, because there happens just to be a quirk, again, I'm just playing devil's advocate for a minute, there happens to be a quirk even within the sugyas of Dabash Yesh Matirin. Even those things that are Dabash Yesh Matirin, Dabash Yesh Matirin only applies, B'mino doesn't apply to Shulam B'mino. Why that statement should be true, I have no idea. I mean, I do have an idea, but I'm not telling you yet, okay? I mean, if you didn't read the whole Rav, then you also don't have an idea. And if you read the whole Rav, you probably also don't have an idea. So one could argue that Dabash Yesh Matirin is half the ball game. The Abishad Batir does not explain both this, both number one and number two. All the Abishad Batir does, it explains number one, but it still leaves us somewhat questionable. But hey, wait a second. If the whole reason why Chometz for Pesach and Mash is because Davishesh Matirin, the Davishesh Matirin itself is limited to Mino, so Taka, why is Eino Mino going to be Aser? So if you want to go down this route number two and not attribute Shaloba Mino to Davishesh Matirin, then you have to fall back on something else. And what is that phantom something else you must fall back on? What is that fallback position? What could possibly be the source that we could attribute to the Yisra Shalom Amino? You have to fall back on two words that we were trying very hard to avoid. And what is that? Chomet de Chomet. I mean, you could have Dovashesh and Matirin, but that's not going to complete the story. It's not going to help you entirely. That will explain the phenomena of Amino, and then Chomet de Chomet is going to kick in and say, well, even though normally we only aser Dovashesh and Matirin by Amino, here we're going to make a gezeira, eino mino ato mino, but we don't make that gezeira by beit shalom. We don't make that gezeira by chodosh. We make that gezeira by other things. You're right. We talk it home, but this is more serious. The stakes are higher because of chum dechametz. So even within the world of davashesh matirin, we're not quite sure whether davashesh matirin is the end all, the sole answer, the sole solution to why chametz and pesach does mashu across the board, both one and two. Well, Dovashesh Matirin is only half the story. Anyway, you have to fall back on Chomet de Chomet. So, within the Rambam's view, per se, the real Rambam's view, the emissary Rambam himself, so it's clear what the Rambam says. The Rambam says it's mamish verbatim. The Rambam happens to hold the Dovashesh Matirin only applies to Mino and Kol Terah Kula, to other types of Dovashesh Matirin, to Chodosh and Beis Shel Debiyamtes and maybe Tevel. All the classic, the dark, you know, the classic Dovashesh Matirins are limited only to Min B'Mino for some deep, dark secret we have no idea why. And normally, Shalom B'Mino is Tach Heter Gomor, and it's just regular Bittel, Shishimro, whatever the regular rules of Bittel are. But the Chometz Echmiru, and even the Rambam buys into, falls back position of Chomer de Chometz. Since we, even within the world of the Rambam, Chomer de Chometz is very important, it really behooves us just again, just to chazer for a second, maybe even elaborate upon. What does Chomer de Chometz mean? So I told you a whole story on Thursday, what Chomer de Chometz meant. I told you, well, it's a few factors all thrown together. What were some of the factors? What were some of the factors that made us believe this Chomer de Chometz? I threw out you what? It's Kareis, with Lo Bedili Minei, right? The works, everything, right? We even gave a marshal. Who remembers the marshal? The baseball game, right? City, the baseball game. And what's he, what steak can eat? Three pretzels. So I have to buy a shirt. Yesterday, I was sitting in Citi Field, not at a baseball game, but at a baseball stadium. I was in between my two shiurim, and I went outside. Some of the stands were open. There was a game going on, and I was sitting and I was learning. And it was a nice day outside. I was enjoying myself. It was me and the grounds crew. I got a really good. I didn't realize how close home plate really is. I got really great seats. I thought there was no game. But I was sitting and watching the guys cleaning up. That's what they do all day. I guess they do it even on off days. They just sit all day in one of the field. It's an amazing job. It's such musr I was thinking about. It's going to make it one of my drushes when you're on the road. I'm not even sure how. It's kabbalah musr. Unwa melev him amelev. So the watering. Nothing but watering. And I'm sitting there, and I started to munch on. I had a bag of pretzels. And kachav, I was thinking to myself, I can't believe it, but it's really happening. I'm sitting on a ball game eating pretzels, and I was thinking, is it Pesach? Is it Nachal? Couldn't figure it out. Okay, so Baruch Hashem. Okay, good. Anyway, getting back to our story. So, this idea that Chomet de Chometz is now critical, not just in the Tzitzis of the world, but in the Rambam's world also, do we know where Chomet de Chometz really came from? I mean, we just gave some reasons, we rattled off the Minei, the Sukkot, we threw together the whole picture. Who started this notion of Chomet de Chometz? Who was the first one who got this idea in the head, got this bug in the head and said, you know what, Pesach is just too serious, we got to throw a lot of Chomers at us. This is your great-grandmother who decided, who started Chomet de Chometz exactly? The Rambam made it up. Tosafot made it up. The Rosh made it up. The Rabbi said, who made up Chomet de Chometz? What? Rav is the first place we have a document of the Chometz. According to Tosfos, we have it in a sense when we call it the Tosfos Pesach on the Beis. According to Tosfos, it's documented in the Mishnah because the various Atush of Digas Chometz is an expression of that. So, sometime between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mishnah, somebody thought up this great idea called, "Hey, you know what? Let's do Chometz Klai Yisrael on Pesach because the Chometz Chometz." Is that what happened? So the Ran has a fascinating comment. Well, hopefully, I don't want to talk about it too much now because it's going to be a major topic next year. But the Aleph Amidal, the very, very first Ran, the Ran tells you where he thinks Chum de Chum started from. You know where it started from? From the Torah itself. The Torah itself addresses Chum de Chum. We state Chum de Chum in the Torah. Where does that idea of Chum de Chum in the Torah come from? Says the Ran, did you ever think about why is there an Issa D'Oraisa by Ravei Matzah? What doesn't the Torah say you're not allowed to own Basa B'chol? Why doesn't the Torah say you're not allowed to own Oran Kiyo Kiyo? Why does the Torah only strike at the Kayim by Rav Motzei? What's Pshat? So the Ran says, in a Hashkafic / Halachic statement, the Ran says that the nature of the Isser by Rav Motzei is a Siyag D'Oraisa. It's a Torah offense, the Torah side take, what you usually think that safeguards it. Now they have to put up new pictures of Rosh Hashimah. They can't do it anymore. They have at least a put up one picture. It's good for my neighbors if they by some chance put up it to the end. That way I don't see them in there. Every day I walk out to myself. It's like not good for me. So comes around and says, by Rabbi Motzei is a siyag d'oraisa, and the nature of the whole issue by Rabbi Motzei patterned after that concept of the siyag d'oraisa, which will have enough committed lean, hoping that she'll come back next year to find out what some of the significance of that Ran is. And the Ran asks on himself, asks on the Torah and says, and Taka, why did the Torah make the siyag only here? So the Ran said, because it's covered, so deal with it, the whole 9 yards. All the svaras that we said, according to Tosfos Dabeis and Psachim, and according to Tosfos in Ravashit and Zachlav and Psachim, all the dinim d'rabbanan, comments of Pesach on Sebemashio, and Dov Shesh Matirin, and Shlom Bemino, and B'dikas Chometz, those are all dinim d'rabbanan. Those dinim d'rabbanan were all because of Chumr d'chometz. Says the Rad, all these chumras d'rabbanan are ke'ein d'araisa tikkun. The ke'ein d'araisa is the d'araisa by Rav Motzei. By Rav Motzei itself, Gufa is a siyag. So, getting back to that story. So, according to the Rambam, we know for a fact that Dov Shesh Matirin is not the whole story, it's half the story, combined together with Chumr d'chometz. But then the Rambam makes a startling statement about his very unique understanding of what Chumr d'chometz is all about. And the Rambam seems to say something a little bit different than the Ran. The Rambam seems to say that Chumr d'chometz has its roots in the Torah itself. But interestingly, he doesn't quote Rav Motzei as the mokor for Chumr d'chometz. Even though between you and me, I think the Rambam may very well agree to the Ran about the relationship between by Rav Motzei and Achilas Chometz. So stay tuned for next year for that one. But the Rambam also invokes almost like a D'oraisa model of Chumr d'chometz. And the Rambam's like posing this challenge and saying, according to Mashtabu Torah, but again, the Rambam made this up. The Gemara doesn't say Dov Shesh Matirin is the reason for Chometz and Mashtabu, but the Rambam made it up. And the Rambam's saying that, according to Mashtabu Torah, you have to fall back on Chumr d'chometz. And where does Chazal get it from? So the Rambam dug up somehow another mokka for Chumr d'chometz. Anyone saw? Sha'arei Amr Torah, Kamach Metzis Lesecheilu. Because the Torah said not to eat chumah chmetzel sechel, it sounds like a very, very chometz tikkadin. It's a very unique, the chometz Torah doesn't say in other areas of halacha. So that somehow creates the model of the araisa for chumah the chometz. And the model of the araisa for the chometz enabled the chachamim to invoke chometz tikkun rabban king the araisa tikkun to institute shalom b'mino atumino. This is all the Rambam. Okay, right? Remember, right out of the Rambam. Right, so everyone read the Rambam, you saw the Rambam, invokes the image of chumah the chometz, he quotes a pasuk in chumash, and he's using that to defend this concept. Therefore, the Ramanan, they were more machmir in the details of Dov Shesh Matirin because they had their eyes on the D'Oraisa of Kumach Metzah Sechirin. And what exactly was that D'Oraisa that the Rambam was referencing? Anyone bothered to look it up? Anyone bothered to cross-reference the Rambam? Did I put it on the Rambam Kermis, another Rambam? Mm-hmm. I didn't put it on? I did put it on. Rambam Chosom Tzimata, right? So comes the Rambam, Chosom Tzimata tells us, quoting, or according to some Rishon misquoting, but quoting the Gemara in the beginning of the third Perek of Maseches Pesachim, where the Gemara learns out, at least some Tanaim learn out, from the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, Kol Machmetzos Lo Sechelu, that phrase kol is coming to include something that would otherwise not have been osur. Now the Torah says it multiple times, don't eat chametz. The Torah says lo ye'achol chametz, the Torah says lo soichol chametz, the Torah says it many, many times. You eat chametz, you have kares. And an additional place the Torah says, by the way, kol machmetz asloise geiru. So what is that kol? What is that coming to rabbis? What is kol that wouldn't have been included in real chametz? So Gemara says that phrase, kol machmetz asloise geiru, is coming to include Tarayvus chametz. Chametz that's mixed in to something that probably wouldn't have been osur lulei this gzeres hakosov. And comes the Torah and says, unlike chel adam, chaz, and velish, etc., 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 kol machmetz is the rabbis of Tarayvus chametz. Now, it is obvious the Rambam is not invoking this pasuk. The Gemara is not referring to our sugya of chametz v'pesach osur b'mashu. That would be absolutely absurd to say such a thing. Why would that be absurd? Let's say you have a tremendous, you have a pot of a billion times of potatoes and a little drop of chametz gets in. That's the pasuk kol machmetz l'sochelu. That is absurd. Why is that absurd? Why is that equation absurd? That's not kol machmetz l'sochelu by any stretch of the imagination. If you violate kol machmetz l'sochelu, you have malchus for violating kol machmetz l'sochelu. Kol machmetz l'sochelu is an issa d'araisa. The model of chametz l'mashu was only midrabanan. Nobody says chametz v'pesach osur mashu midaraisa. Maybe they're abundant for this reason, maybe they're abundant for that reason, maybe not they're abundant altogether, maybe Rabbi Tom's right, maybe not. But nobody ever, ever, ever dreamt of saying that if one breadcrumb falls into your humongous cholent, that it's osur mashu midaraisa. That's absurd. So kol machmetz aslo sochelo has to mean a little bit more than that. It's not enough that would have been osur lagamre, it's not chametz mamish. But it's got to be some degree more than just a mashu. So what is that about? What's the volume? Where do we cross it? At what point have we crossed the threshold into the derisive category of giving malchus for kol machmetz lo sochelu? What did the Rambam write in Hilchos Chametz Matzah? What does the Rambam write? Anyone saw it? I didn't put it in the Rambam comments. So what does the Rambam say?
What?
So the Rambam says what?
You eat a shear of his man.
What's that called? What's the halachic terminology for that? Kizayis b'chilos pras. That means there's a lot of chametz in this mixture. I got a fairly big pot of cholent, but not that much. I got a big pot of kosher paste of cholent, and then a couple of breadcrumbs fell in. More than a kizayis of breadcrumbs, and if I'll sit and eat the cholent at a pace of b'chilos pras, I will have devoured a kizayis in those breadcrumbs. Al zen nema b'teirah kol machmetz l'sichir. That's the law of the Torah. That's the chiddush of chametz in the Torah. Yichayim malchus. You're not chayim kares for that. No way. This is not, you know why? Why are you not chayim kares for that? Why are you not chayim kares for that? Because the Gemara says al chametz gomor yichayim kares. Al tarayim is chametz only over a lav. So it's that model that the Rambam referred to in Perek Aleph of the Chametz Matzah. That's what the Torah means when it says Kol Machmetz Lo Sochelu. That's Taka Chumut Chametz Gemal Yichidush in the Torah, because that would never have been also by anything else. That never ever would have been Deraisa. Not like a long shot that ever been also by Deraisa. And Al Zech Yichat Torah Kol Machmetz Lo Sochelu. It's not Chorus. Only Allah. And the Rambam had his eyes on that. Rambam had his eyes on that Din. The Rebbe's Chametz Kol Machmetz and says, just as the Torah creates the model of chumah, the chametz asering things that don't belong to be asur, that don't meet the regular rules to be asur, just as the Torah committed that model, so the Rabbon extended that model and said, "Ke'ein deraisa." Excuse me, just as the direct condition, the Rabbon Shalom himself was nervous about people, not literally, but you know, kaviyachol, nervous about people violating chametz, so the Rabbon Shalom slapped us with a few extra surim above and beyond the call of duty. So to the Rabbon, when they instituted the details of chametz b'mashu, which is only derabanan, because it's nowhere near the threshold of their ices. But they instituted the chumash derabanan. So the fact that they asked it, b'mino, I don't need any chum d'chumas. That's plain and simple tavshesh material. The chiddush derabanan is that even shloim b'mino was also ke'ein the derais of kumachat osachim. Everyone read the Rambam. So he's taking Rambam chumach osachim. So it's chumash right, poshut right. Anyone know what the Rambam is talking about? What is so profoundly difficult with this Rambam? So fundamentally problematic with this Rambam. And here you have an advantage of the guys who are not learning Chumash. If you just learned Pesachim next year, you probably wouldn't appreciate how problematic this Rambam is. But now that we know a little bit about Chulin, and now we're talking about this Rambam, you should stop the Rambam in his tracks and say, wait a second. I must have said it 10 times over. I kept on saying it to see some hands, see some puzzled faces. I was like, I see the puzzled faces, isn't it? Hands. What? The Rambam just made an equation. Rambam says that in the world of their ices, we have this unbelievable chiddush, lo yuman ki supar. It doesn't make any sense. We can only attribute to the chometz, and that's called kol machmetzes, which the Rambam translates to minuchas chometz and matzah, kizayis, v'chdei achilas bras. Ma nishtana alayla zemek alaylas, because it's chometz and chometz, so that's in the kashas. And the Rambam said, this din deraisa led to the din derabonon, and when you have a chometz, shaloi b'minoi, the bite of a mashu, is because of this deraisa. Good, any problems?
Steer.
What?
The steer.
What's the steer?
Because over here he said that chomet chomet.
What's the steer? This is derabanan. It's nowhere near.
Use the pasuk from Machmetzah.
This is deraisa when you have kizayis echelas bras. This is derabanan when you have nowhere near that amount. You're only chomet from mashu, but it asks the shlomim, you know. It's called the tiki rabbanan. Okay, deraisa tiki. This is deraisa. This is derabanan. Is that what the Rambam is saying? What's the problem? What? That's the only thing you should ask when you say what? What did Rambam say? The Rambam just said that the din deraisa of kol machmetzel sechelon, which is azach chiddush ha'teiratz, lo yuman ki yisupar. I never in a million years would have said it on my own. It's azach chiddush irach ha'koris. This is not chometz. This is not doing chometz. No, it's a kol machmetzel sechelon. Kol tekul doesn't exist, and therefore is a haraya brewed as a concept of chum dechomet. Really? Really, truly? Plug in this mathematical equation to chazir. If a kezayis chazir falls into my pot, and I eat the kezayis techilas pras, what is it that I just violated according to the Rambam? Hinuchas Machalos Asuros? What does the Rambam call that? What would the Rambam call that equivalent ratio? All the math guys, math, econ, kan, what do you guys do? Right? The equivalent of kol machmetzes and uchus chazir, the same amount. Kezayis, pechtechus, marzik, mamish, identical. What would the Rambam say about that? Isn't that the Rambam's what? Isn't that the Rambam's Tam Tikr? Doesn't the Rambam hold Yechai Malchus to that, by the way, just as an aside? Isn't that a huge problem? Who passed this kash in the Rambam? This is the Ramach's kash in the Rambam. This is the Ramban's kasha. I had Rachmanos on your right. The Ramach had only three lines. The Ramban takes 40 pages to ask his kasha. It's the same kasha. The Ramban is different mitzvah. The Ramach has the same kasha as the Rambam. How in the world could the Rambam describe this as the chumra de chometz? This is the exception to the rule. This is the chiddush gadol shalom atzidulah b'chol tarkulah. And this is the kein deraisa. And the sicha machbor. Excuse me, says the Ramach and the Ramban. If you eat kizas nechlas prat from the Rambam, what should you be chayav? You should be chayav what? Chometz. Because you just ate chometz. The same way we eat kizak of chazi, chayav malchus. So the Emet says this is not a Yerodeh problem. This is not a chum, but this is a psochim problem. This is a very, very difficult problem. This is a huge, huge problem in the Rambam. Hopefully, maybe next year we'll get to it a little bit. This is a very, very serious problem in the Rambam. But it only exasperates it because the Rambam is using this pasuk as his model to the deraisa. We have no idea what the deraisa was according to the Rambam. Why Manishtan comes from all of Jerusalem? So when all the dust settles, we're going to put this on hold, and we're going to take the Rambam's word for it, and we're going to take the Rambam with the Rambam Hilga, that Tato's bottle to the Dasa Rambam, that the reason why Mino is Mamashu is the Abshesh material. The reason why Shlod Mino is Mamashu is because of the Chometz, Kachazeh. But even though we have no question what the Rambam sheet is, do we have Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam? Do we have Rishonim who are willing to accept the theory of the Rambam, the Dovah Shesh Masirin is the engine that's driving Chometz Tezal HaZem Mashrim, and willing to go the distance with it? And willing to say, Dovah Shesh Masirin is what is responsible not just for the Yisra B'Mashrim of Mino, but that is ultimately the reason of Shalom of Mino as well. And could it be that there's a phantom Rishon out there, somewhere in outer space, there's a Rishon that says that we don't even need Chometz anymore. Tosfos said Chumash Dechometz is the engine that's driving everything. The Rambam said Chumash Dechometz is the engine that's driving at least Shalavim Minah. Could we create a Rishon that says that Chumash Dechometz, that's maybe that explains why your grandmother's lining the cabinets or something, but that has nothing to do with Chometz Bez Osim Asher. The reason why Chometz Bez Osim Asher, according to this new phantom Rishon, is for one reason alone, Dei B'mida Ben Shalom B'mina, let's say it all together. Why is Chometz Bez Osim Asher? Because of Da'avah Sheyesh Matir Kiddush. The only Rishon we can identify as such is we have to search what this Rishon, who this phantom Rishon, what they would say in other areas of Halacha. Is there anyone who argues with the Rambam in Hilchos Da'avah Sheyesh Matir? Is there anyone who really says that Da'avah Sheyesh Matir Afilu Bi'Aflo Bat applies even Shalom Amino? Does any Rishon like that exist? Now, we have possible reason to believe somebody may say it. What indication from the Rambam himself do we have that somebody may say that? Because the Rambam, the best he can come up with was in Yerot Li. That was like the greatest proof there. The Rambam didn't have an admission. I'm a source in the Gemara. The Rambam's Yerot Li. Somebody else may say Yerot Li Faker. So, the Rambam has almost opened up the Pesach, opened up the door for us, that there may be a Chalik B'Dovah. And the question now, which probably take up the rest of the year today, is who, if anybody, is this Cholik B'Dovah? And again, we want to know the answer to that question. It's critical for us to know the answer to that question. Can we identify Cholik B'Dovah? Because if we can, then we have a whole new approach to Cholik Bez Osim Asher. We don't need Cholik the Chometz anymore. We have plain, simple, glatt Da'avah Sheyesh Matir. So we have our work cut out for us to find, to discover, or to invent such a Rishon. There's only one shot we have. And who is that? There's only one shot, we may win or may lose. Who is that? It's the Riff. It is a cryptic comment to the Riff that may or may not be the Rishon we're looking for. And this Riff now opens up the entire circuit for us. It's a Riff commenting on a Gemara that appears in the seventh Perek of Masechet Pesach. An important Yerot Dei. When they put up Rav David's picture in Subach, they didn't do it. There's a Gemara in the seventh Perek of Masechet Pesach, a very, very important lemaisa that happened in Yerot Dei, that talks about the following shaila. Recha Milsa, Recha La Milsa. Who's Recha doing anything? So Yadua, there's a din of Tom Kikar, but there is a Rabbonik, there's Pras, Shisha, but Tom exists, we know that. Tom can create Yisurim and Tarovas. Come to Abarayim and Abimachlekes, what if there's no Tom? You know why there's no Tom? Because there's no contact. There's no physical contact. So for sure there's not going to be Tom. But other things spread, even without physical contact, such as an aroma, smell could spread. A person's over there, and there's a nice or not such nice smelling thing in the other room, other end of the room. So he smells it. Why? I mean, again, we know that there is physical context, so there's a molecule. Anyone here knows anything about the physics of smell? Okay, no one knows anything. Yeah, something happens, whatever. You know, hopeless focus, the molecules and something, you know, drowning. But tachlis, if you're isolated, there's nothing physical, right? I mean, nothing's really going. If anyone wants to know, I have two foods in an oven. So have heat. One's kosher, one's straight. Sechah is a piece of kosher meat. Roasting is there. They're within 10 feet away from each other. So there's no nasi tam, there's no splashes, there's nothing. There's no even zeya, there's no steam. That's already a whole other story. But simply two dry pieces of meat. And the chazer smells really, really good. The smell comes out of that chazer. And I want to know, can I eat the piece of kosher meat now? Did that piece of kosher meat receive a tam, a reich, something of iser from that chazer that now prevents me from eating the kosher meat? Is reich milsa, is reich lav milsa. Oh, my chazer, my rab, and Levi, and back and forth. How did this make its way to Pesachim? Because the sugyan comes up with Korban Pesach. Two different people roasted the Korban Pesach in the same oven. Each one's not allowed to eat from the other guy's Pesach. Complicated story. Reicha Milsa, Reicha Lagosa. So comes the Gemara, almost at the end of the Sugya, and quotes a Braisa that says as follows. It's not Braisa that the Gemara never quotes anyone who argues with. It says as follows. What if a person, the same oven, same time, is roasting a piece of meat, And he's baking a loaf of bread. And again, they're 10 feet away from each other. So there's no splattering. There's no literal physical spread. But they're receiving aroma, getting a smell one from another. Okay, so he has some reyach went into the bread. Okay, what's terrible about that? No, not so simple, the Gemara says. Rashi says you can't take that bread and eat it b'kusach. Kusach is a yogurt, a milky. I mean, you can't make a cream cheese sandwich out of that loaf of bread anymore. You have to treat that bread as being flesh and bread. Now that is a loaded statement just in terms of general kashrus having flesh and bread. We're not talking about that right now. But one thing is that the bread cannot be eaten with milk anymore. That's what the Rashi says. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, okay, I understand that. If you hold reich milsa, then I got it. If you hold reich la milsa, why should that be a problem? So the problem is the riff. That's where the entire problem begins. The riff in the Sefer Shulim, where he quotes the sugi from Sof. So the riff writes that we paskin in the heart of hearts reich la milsa. We passed the Sibi Maskara said, who are Rechel Abdel? The Afal Pichain, we passed it like this Braisa. Because the Riff argues that nobody really argues with this Braisa, says the Riff. The Braisa is accepted, notwithstanding the fact that we deny Rech being any factor whatsoever in Halacha. So, Pilip Lai, what's behind the Riff? So, the Riff himself poses this question himself and gives you two answers. We're going to focus only on one. The Riff says that what does Rechel Abdel mean? Yesh lachor. What do those words mean? Reichel abilsa. One can understand that word. We pass like lady reichel abilsa. Reichel abilsa means that reich doesn't register in your day. It just doesn't exist. Reich is not something that we have to reckon with in the law. Tom, yeah, maybe zeh, yeah, but reich is not an osir at all. It's not the chaz. Who cares? The Turk is concerned with Tom, not concerned with reich. What's wrong? No. You can't ignore Reach as a physical entity. There's something, there's a quality here. If there's Reach here, there are molecules. Something of that chazer has made its way into the piece of meat. So why is Reach ala milsa? What's the answer by side? Because even though the Reach has made its way into the meat, by the mere fact that I can't taste it because there was no missing this time, there was no physical contact. The Reach that's made its way into the meat, the typhus that's made its way into the meat, is so minuscule, so insignificant, that what rule could I apply? It's batel. So the reason why Reich lav milsa is not because Reich is lav milsa, because it doesn't exist. It exists, but halachically it's lav milsa. It's lav milsa because Hilchas Bittel kicks in. Might have to be at the end of the day, it's butter. What's the difference whether you say, Zok Tazoy, Zok Tazoy? Says the Riff, not very important to Zok in one direction. You know why? Says the Riff. If Reich milsa is predicated on the assumption that Reich is there, but it's batel, but med devamamurim, it's batel, those things that are needed to bittul. But if some quirk, you have a situation where bittul is not going to fly, so you're in a big problem. And therefore, we're going to have to pass it because again, the Reicha is milsa in effect. It says, the Riff, give me a case, give me a scenario. The Bryce is example. When I have a Reich of kosher meat in a loaf of bread, if I would have held that Reicha la milsa doesn't exist, it doesn't register, so there's no flesh in this bread. It's part of bread still. But if you go down the second route, like the Riff prefers now, that the Reich is there, but it's batel, the fleishes is batel in the bread? Wait a second. And therefore I'm allowed to do what? Therefore I should be allowed to eat the bread with cream cheese? Mapitam, what's the problem, says the Riff? What's preventing me from eating that bread with cream cheese? What's preventing me from saying batel? It's a davishesh matirin. What's the davishesh matirin? Why do I have to eat the bread with cream cheese? Eat it with peanut butter. Eat it with tuna fish. But what's compelling me to eat it? The iser, the korash and rebeit. Atzah the chalav, yisik the chalav. Why eat it in a state of bas becholav for long and bitter, which is not so good? It's not a big problem. But from last week, shiva al shulchan, all that we spoke about last week. Why rely on bitter when you don't have to? So the Riff says that's what the Braisa says, that in a case when you have chazir in the same oven as roast beef, kosher meat. What are you going to do? You're not going to rely on bittul. What's that going to translate to mean? If you don't rely on bittul, what's that going to mean practically? If you don't rely on bittul when you have chazir and meat in the same oven, what are you going to have to do with that kosher meat? You have to throw it out. So you're not going to rely on bittul not to throw out all your food. But don't tell you to throw out the bread. They're just telling you, just please be sure, don't eat it with cream cheese. Eat it with peanut butter. So that's the kain, davashesh lavatiri. So the Riff says, davashesh lavatiri, if you'll be honest, lavatiri. That's a famous very famous words in Riff in Zemp. Come to Ramban and makes the following observation with Asa Riff. Is this an appropriate application of Dovah Sheish Matirin? What is problematic? What is controversial with the Rif's application of Dovah Sheish Matirin to this? Besides his unique understanding of Reichel HaMilta, that will be given to you. What is fascinating about this Rif? Why are we talking about this Rif now? What is the Rif applying? What category of Tarevis is the Rif applying Dovah Sheish Matirin to? This is what? Did you ever see a piece of meat? Did you ever see a loaf of bread? What do you think? You think that's min b'mino? Oh, I mean, not the same time, not the same shame. One's meat and one's bread. Put them to each other. That's min b'shein amino. And notwithstanding the fact that it's min b'shein amino, the Rif is learning that's also nichlo in the din of Dovah Sheish Matirin fil b'yaflo batil. Says the Ramban, we have discovered the phantom Rishon. We've made him up. We found him. We found the Rishon who denies the Rambam Zero Li. Who is none other than the Rambam's Rebbe. The Rambam's Rebbe was his father, Ben Yimayim, and the Ben Yimayim's father was the Rebbe was the Rivagash. The Rivagash's Rebbe was the Rif. That is who the Rambam is coming Lafuke. The Rambam Zero Li is coming Lafuke, is coming to disagree with his Rebbe's Rebbe. Because it's Zok the Ramban, the Dasa Rif, it's Klor, this is Mimshir Aminan. And I feel the Biela, Flo Baltil. That's great for us, because we now have another pshat in Rishonim, Mr. White Chometz Abed, Dasa Ramashu. It's plain and simple, Dasa Shesh Matirin. You don't need Chometz, you're good to go. If you pin all your hopes, all your dreams, all your aspirations on the Shita Sarif, in the Sugar Brech Elav Nosa. And what prompted the Rif to this conclusion? How did the Rif know that the Rambam Zero Ali that was going to be written in 100 years from then, after the Rif died, how did he know it was wrong? How did the Rif know that Dovah Sheish Matirin applies even to Shalom Amino? So the Ramban finishes the job for us. The Ramban says, not only did the Ramban discover this Rif, but the Ramban actually shows you, goes into the inner workings of the Rif's mind and says, I'll show you where the Rif saw it. He got it from the Gemara. He didn't make it up on his own. He saw it famous in the Gemara. What Gemara did the Rif get it from? Which Gemara did the Rif see that Dovah Sheish Matirin fill the Bible applies even Shalom Amino? Not himself. What is the phantom? What is that famous Gemara? Everyone read the Ramban? Did I put the Ramban in the Ramban Kovas? No, I didn't put the Ramban. I put the Ran in the Ramban Kovas. And the Ran quoted the Ramban. The Gemara Beitza. The Ran quoted the Ramban, and the Ramban is quoting the Gemara Beitza. Gemara Beitza talks about the following. There's a din that I'm not allowed to go. Not only am I not allowed to go chutz l'tchum, but my kelim are not allowed to be carried by somebody else chutz l'tchum. Even though, let's say, it's not out of their tchum, it's out of my tchum. Different people have different tchum, depending on where you started the Shabbos Yontif. So my kelim can't go out of my tchum, my animal can't go out of my tchum, my food can't go out of my tchum. Whatever shaykh to me is bound by my tchum as well. So the Mishnah's a strange discussion in Masechus Beis, in the Masechus Beis. You can have a food that belongs to multiple people. How is that? Oh, families are all friendly together, on Yom Tov, everyone's baking together, right? So, having a block, kiddush. So the women are all baking Yom Tov morning, and one's giving the dough, and one's providing the sugar, and one's throwing in the chocolate chips, or whatever goes into the chocolate chip cookies. And lo and behold, you have this now delicious, yummy isa, this dough, this challah, this chocolate chip cake, these cookies, everything, you name it, the ravelach, whatever's being made, the shutfis. It now belongs to multiple people on the block. What's the problem? The problem is that not all people on the block have the same tchum. Because last night, when the yontif started, I was in one place, and you were in another place. Again, if we're all in the same city, we all have the same tchum. The tchum starts outside the city limits. But imagine we're all on a camping trip. And the whole whole Burger Field, we all went out to spend yontif out camping somewhere, okay? We all went away for Pesach together. So we're all out in the middle of nowhere, no people, no civilization. When Yontif started, I was on one side of the camping ground, and you were on the other side, and we were, and we could theoretically have different chumen. So now, Gavalt, we have this one Isa that belongs partially to me, partially to you, partially to Yadam. You know what the Mishnah says? Now, if you want to start moving this Isa around, you want to start carrying these cookies around, what's the din? Harezi karag l'shneim. You have to take all the chumens of all the people. So this one cookie can't go very far. It can only go within the radius of everybody's chumen. So it may only be able to go for 3 feet. It can only go very, very small area. So in describing that halacha, that everybody has a share in this Isa, so the Mishnah describes it not as dramatic as I did. It's my Isa. My wife's baking, she's baking a cake. All right? And she runs out a little bit of water, runs out a little bit of salt or something. So she knocks on the neighbor's door, and the next campsite over, and can I have a little bit of salt? No problem. Use a little bit of salt. I need a little bit of flavoring. A little flavoring. And the Mishnah says, "Arezik Rav Lishmeim," that you have to be machmir that this cake can no longer be moved for the duration of that day, unless it's within the tchum of both parties. Frekting bar kasha. What's the gross kasha? It's a big isa that belongs to Rebbe and Sobolovsky. It's a small, minuscule amount of salt or some chocolate chip that belongs to Ploymis. Know what the gross kasha? Let it be batel. Let that little bit of salt be batel. Why do I have to worry about the isa tchumen of yenem salt? Let that salt be batel to my isa. My isa is so big, it's 1,000 times the amount of salt. And what's on the Gemara? So the Gemara has multiple answers to this kasha. One of the answers that's important for us is, the Gemara says, no. It's not going to be batel. You know why? Because tchumen is a what? What is tchumen? Shetam shesh matirin. Why is that a shesh matirin? Just wait, what? Wait till tomorrow. But you have to, when you have to move it, wait till tomorrow. So no, shesh matirin, so we have some bottle. At kad divya gemar, almost the other two roots, most of the natural. No? Who sees where the Ramban's coming from, they say? What is this an example of? Mim shen amino. This is flour and dough. And this is salt. The Afa Pichain, the Gemara, slaps us with the rule, Dov Shesh Matirin, Filvi Afla Batel. So comes the Ramban and says, this is the Gemara that the Rif derived from. This is the Gemara that's flying in the face of who? This Gemara is outright contradiction to who? The Ramban. The Ramban says, you're a Ali, it's not true, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, Peb Mali, black and white, that the reason why the salt is not Batel is Dov Shesh Matirin, notwithstanding the fact that it's a Min B'Shein Amina. The Ramban says, this is the Raya of the Rif. This is the Pshat of the Rif of the Sefer Chul. This is the Pshat in Rechel Abil said, still the bread is, can't be eaten with milk. And this is ultimately what Rava meant when he said, Chavim the base Asim and Mahashu, because Dov Shesh Matirin has nothing to do with Chum the Chavimus. This is a whole Shekholi. I mean, she's sitting in the Ramban, the beast man, and she's giving a whole Shekholi. He dug up a Gemara Beit study, put together a Rif of the Sefer Chul, with a Sukhim the Sefer Tzachim, linked up to a bunch of men on the right. Everything is involved in Gemara. I'm coming up with Shalom. Well, we have to think about it, to digest this Ramban a little bit. But all the pieces of the puzzle seem to fit in beautifully, nicely, and we have discovered, according to the Ramban, the phantom Rishon, who we can now plug into our sugya as the reason for Chomet Fes Asav Mashu, nothing to do with Chomet Fes. This is how the world thought for about 100 years or so, until the Ramban came along and created a upheaval, a pechad, turned the whole world upside down. Came to Ran and turned the entire Klal Yisrael's vision and understanding of Dov Shesh Matirin in a direction completely mechudash. But the Yisrael, how Yisrael, this has become the, if you ask any yeshiva bacher, Dov Shesh Matirin, whether he ever learned the sugya or not, and he doesn't say the Ran and the Durim, you know that he has no idea what Dov Shesh Matirin has anything to do with. This is like Yadua in the middle of the night. If you can't say Ran, you may not be able to say every detail of the Ran, but if you don't know that Dov Shesh Matirin is the piece of Torah, the Ran and the Dharam, then you're missing the boat. So the Ran turned the entire sugya upside down. So he stops with almost like a nitty gritty point by saying, you know, back of our Beitza. I'm not even so sure that's Min B'Shein Amina. Don't tell me that. Maybe that's Mimbamino also. Mimbamino, really? Salt and dough? Why should that be called Mimbamino? Because you need the salt. You can't bake it without the sugar, without the salt. It's going to taste terrible. So if you need it, that's like Mimbamino. Should the Ramban make the Tosafot already said that a bit. Tosafot and Beitza already were sensitive to that. The Nakuda, they gave that answer. But that is not what the Ramban is famous for. To tell you how to make chocolate chip cookies. That is not what made the Ran famous in this episode. The Ran opens up our eyes, Rabbi Isaac, to a whole new understanding of Dov Shesh Matirin. And the Ran, in effect, poses the problem of last week. Why did Chazal create this thing, Dov Shesh Matirin? It's only Chumid Ramah, it's not a Dinder Aisa. Why did Chazal make this up? So we already saw Rashi, a Beit Zagei convention with him. Until the days of Iran, everybody thought Rashi Pshat was right. The Dovashish Matir is why? Achet Echlen Wap. Yes, the Chalim had to wait it out. Why do you have to be so makeless on this? I'll be from, come on. Come on, Mahadran, come on. Be from it. You know, it's almost the same as the truth. It's almost a shun. Come on, be from. Don't rely on Bittel. That's what Rashi said. That's the point of the Chalim had to. The Ram says, no, that's not what you're really going on. But in order for the Ram to explain to you what is really going on here, the Ram takes a step back and he references what we spoke about last week. Because the Ran has a theory about Bittul in general that was an eye-opener. And that was that famous word of what? Bittul. Remember the Ran back all the way back in last sugya, back to the Machlokes Rabbeinu and the Rabbanan. Where did the Machlokes emanate from? Rabbi Yehuda says, Mim b'vein ha-batel, the Rabbanan says, Batel. What's that about? The Gemara in Menachos links it to what? To the famous what? Davapar Damasor. That's to do with goats and bulls, right? Davapar Damasor, that's all it is. Ron says, no, it's much more profound than that. Conceptually, what is behind Rabbi Yehuda's Min B'Mino Eina Batel is the necessity, the prerequisite for Hitnagdut. You have to have a conflict, you have to have a clash. And when you have two things that are so close to one another, that they're identical to one another, there's no clash. When there's no war, there's no victor to the war. When there's no clash, there's no bittul. Everyone walks away fully intact. They have to first kill each other before one is dead. Comes around and says, according to Yehuda, two items. This is chicken soup, and that's chicken soup. Too close to one another. No bittul, no clash. And the Rabbanim also buy into that model. You need it, you need a clash, you need a conflict in order to create bittul. But wherein lies the machlokes between the Rabbanan on the level of their eye? He said, why did the Rabbanan not see eye to eye with Yehuda's of Tehran? Because the Rabbanan understood that although it's true that in the physical world, in the world of the lab, in the world of post 3 o'clock, chicken soup and chicken soup is the same thing. But the minute that you put on your halachic glasses, and the minute that you put up your spiritual antenna, you will immediately realize that kosher chicken soup and treif chicken soup are worlds apart. One is kosher, and one is treif. Not the same thing. It's not identical. So what you're lacking in the world of physics and chemistry, you're making up in the world of this medrash. And therein lies in Kudus Machlokes Rabbeinu the Rabban. And what fact or what characteristic do we focus on, do we isolate, to highlight is there hitnagdut or not? Rabbi Yehuda had a physical understanding, the Rabban had a halakhic. That was last week. Now the Ram takes it to the next level. Says the Ram, if all of Bittul is hinging upon Hitnagdut, and all of Hitnagdut is based on spiritual differences, when you have a Dovar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, listen to the words. It's a Dovar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. It's about to be Mutter. What does that mean when something's about to be Mutter? What does that tell you about the Dovar also right now? If it's about to be Mutter, it's Ot. It's not so awesome. Not as bad as you thought it was. If it was really bad, then it would remain also the other one. And the fact that around the corner it's going to be okay, that in and of itself is indicative that it's not quite so awesome. Now, we would normally think, well, not so awesome, that's good. Isn't that more of a reason to eat it if it's not so awesome? Wrong. This is what's counterintuitive. This is the benafik with Iran. Because it's not so awesome, you send it out to battle to fight against what? It's about to fight against a Dovra Mutter. What's the problem? It's a half-dead soldier. It's not so awesome anymore. It's over the hill already. Something which is about, in 3 hours from now, it's going to be Mutter. It's not so awesome. And according to the Rabbanan, therein lies the problem. Because according to the Rabbanan, the only thing that created it in the first place was the clash. You can have a clash when you have Chazer touches potato soup. They are arch enemies. Chazos here, also the young boy, potato soup, mutter the young boy. The two of them fight it to the death. When a Dovah Sheish, the Matirin, bumps into potato soup, the Dovah Sheish, the Matirin, they are dead anyway. And the battle doesn't even start. With the white flag, sir, he surrenders right away. There's no battle. There's no battle. You know what else there is? When there's no battle, there ain't no bittul. And you know what happens? Dovah Sheish, the Matirin, feel the aflabato. That's what Dovah Sheish, the Matirin means according to that. If that's the case, says the Ram, Now I'll explain to you the next mystery of mysteries of the Rosh Hashanah theory. The Rambam is 100% right. 1000% right. That Dovah Sheish Matirin only applies to Min B'mino, doesn't apply to Min B'shein Amino. The Raiv is even right, because it's a Mishnah, it's a Brayis, it's a favor, it's a Brayis, it doesn't wash it, but the Rambam's right. The Dovah Sheish Matirin is only limited to Min B'mino. Why? If you go down Rashi's logic, what's the difference? It's such an arbitrary distinction. B'mino, 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 who cares? Says the man, let me explain to you what makes all the difference in the world. B'med Devar Mamurim, that the Chumrah of Dovah Sheish Matirin makes sense. That's by Tarovis of Min B'mino. You know why? Because Min B'mino really doesn't have Hitnagdut. It's Taka Rabbi Yehuda's right. There's no Hitnagdut there. What did the Rabbanim rely on to create Hitnagdut? If physical Hitnagdut isn't there, the only Hitnagdut that's left, that's available to us is what? It's spiritual Hitnagdut, but that spiritual Hitnagdut is not really there because it's Dovah Sheish Matirin. But Rabbi said, what's the round punchline? When you have a tarevis of min b'wa, b'she'eno mino, where's the hitnagdut? What's the answer? Where's the hitnagdut? In the laboratory is hitnagdut. So the Spanish is not going to hitnagdut, but the laboratory is hitnagdut. The Rabbanim also buy into physical hitnagdut. The Rabbanim say either one is okay. You can have either physical hitnagdut or spiritual hitnagdut. So Kozman, that you're dealing with the tarevis of min b'she'eno mino, where you have physical clash, physical conflict, so that you have the rest of the forbidden. And therefore it's going to be bottled. I have to double check Yesh the Matirin, who cares? But when you're dealing with Min B'mino, so there is no physical Hitnagdut. So the only Hitnagdut that you're holding on for dear life is spiritual, but that spiritual Hitnagdut is flawed because it's a double check Yesh the Matirin, because the clash isn't there, because the Yesh is not really also. So says the Rad, we throw our hands up, it ain't no Hitnagdut. By a Min B'mino, there's no Hitnagdut, because look for the. Give me a check for Hitnagdut. Physical, it's Min B'mino. X. Spiritual, question of X. Two X's, two strikes in a row. There's no Hitnagdut. There's no business. But by Min B'mino, Min B'shein Amino, you're good to go. Because when you're lacking in the next mention, don't respond to this. When you're lacking in the next mention, make up the science line. That's what the Ron is saying. The Balaki is saying, so how many surges did the Ron just create for us? Unbelievable. You have to like stop this Ron and read it through 1,000 times. So first of all, the Rav gave this razzle-dazzle shtickle Torah in the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabba. Then he explained to you where in the world this idea of Dovah Sheish Matirin came from. Now he just explained to you why Dovah Sheish Matirin only applies Rak B'mino. Dayenu to the Rav, he said, Mamash, Ilu just gave us these three pshatim, that would be enough. But now the Rav comes to the Mamash for the Bachel Patrish. This is like the Ge'enus of Ge'enus, says the Rav. And that's the Kudanum. Zok the Ran. There are two kinds of Dovah Sheish L'Matirins. There's Dovah Sheish L'Matirin of the future, and there's Dovah Sheish L'Matirin of the present. Classic Dovah Sheish L'Matirin we've been talking about, the Chometz of Pesach. You cannot eat Chometz of Pesach, any shape or form. There's no way to do it to have that. But, what's the good news? In the 3 days from now, Kiri Mutter. It's a Beitza Shlod to be on to. That's the original example. Giri Mutter says Beitza. You cannot eat a Beitza Shlod to be open. No shape or form. But what? You have to be open in a few hours. This is Chadosh. You can't eat Chadosh before the coming home, but in a few days, a few weeks, a few months, it's Giri Mutter. Those are all examples of Dovah Sheish Matirin of the future. But then, there's Dovah Sheish Matirin of the here and now, the present. What does that mean? True, I can't eat it in every shape or form that I'd like to eat it right now. But there are ways to eat it to have there. Not tomorrow, not next year, not next month. When? Now. That's the ultimate Dovah Sheish material. You can't get more Dovah Sheish material. That's super duper duper saturated Dovah Sheish material. It is so mutter that it can even find a way to chop around eating it now. Says the Ran, not all Dovah Sheish materials are created equal. The Dovah Sheish material of the future of Beit Hashem, the Beyond of Chometz, the Pesach of Chodesh, those kinds of things where there's no Hetter now, but there's Hetter in the future. Yes, that's the Dovah Sheish material, true. Okay, the Fulbi Alpha Batil. But something that's the Yesh, the material, Achshav, Mamish, Bahoveh. In front of us, there's a way to do it for Hetter. That's the ultimate Dovah Sheish material. Zot the Ran. With that, you say, If that's the case, that something that's yesh achshav now is qualitatively more matirin than the other matirins, those kinds of davar sheyesh, the super saturated, highly concentrated davar sheyesh matirins, but asher right now there's a heter, asher ushav, those davar sheyesh matirin will be usher even when? Even if it's what? Here's the punchline. Even if it's what kind of Torah it is? Even what? Even Mimbishen Amina. Why? Because in the greater scheme of things, says the Ran, the Dover Osir and the Dover Mutter are just too close for comfort. Remember the Ran told us a minute ago, when there are different entities in the lab, when Mimbishen Amina, so what you're lacking in halachic similarity, you're making up in physical similarity. That makes sense, says the Ran, when the degree of similarity in halacha is still some degree to it. Chametz v'Pesach and potato soup are close, but not too close. They're close. I don't know how to measure what the threshold, what the magic number is. They're close. In 3 days, the Pesach is going to be over. They're too close for comfort if it's Mimbimino, and therefore, well, it's Mimbimino, there's no physical conflict, and there's no spiritual conflict, so I feel the upload about it. If it's Mimbishen Omino, what should happen? If it's Mimbishen Omino, what I'm lacking in conflict in the world of the base matter, should I have in the physical world. But, says the Rabbi, if you're dealing with something which is just so, so close, it's identical, they're mamish echut asayir apart. Between the Dover, also the Dover and Mutter, they are so close cousins to one another. They hold kimah holding hands to one another. Let's not forget, according to the Rabbanan, what really creates it not good? Put it comes to shove. What's the real kedaya? Spiritual. If the spiritual connection is just too close, then the physical separation, the physical hit not good, is just not going to carry the day. And therefore, argues around the following unbelievable yisay. Mamish yisaydeh, yisaydeh, stop making up mamish. Then mamish yishmiayin, says the Rabbanan. That, yes, it's true that there's a chiluk between Mimbimino versus Mimbishen Amino by Dover Sheyesh Matirin, but that chiluk only makes sense when you're dealing with a low-level Dover Sheyesh Matirin. When you're dealing with a super-duper high concept, a high-level Dover Sheyesh Matirin, so then the buck stops here, and that's called Dover Sheyesh Matirin, a Mimbishen Amino. Because you cannot substitute for the closeness in halacha with the mere distance in the physical world. Science just can't do everything. Mazda just can't do the trick. The Beis Medrash still has what to say. And if in the world of the Beis Medrash they are too close for comfort, according to the Rabbanan, that's ultimately going to be Kedaya, that's called Dovah Sheshul Matir, that's going to be also Batil. That's the Yisrael. Everyone saw the Ran inside? Everyone chapped the Ran inside? Who understood the Ran when he read the Ran? I want now two real live examples of this Yisrael. The Ran didn't just make this up sitting around in Spain one fine day and thinking of two kinds of Dovah Sheshul Matir. Why did the Ran say this? To answer what kasha did the Ran primarily say this? What Gemara was the Ran reading what forced it into this category of two kinds of Dovah Sheyesh Matirin? There's the future and the present is so Yesh Matirin that nothing will trump its Yesh Matirin aspect. Which Gemara is the Ran coming to answer? Rav Beitza. Because Rav Beitza says that the salt is not butter. Why is the salt butter? Why not? Because they called Mimbimino, come on, the Ran didn't apply by that. Why is the salt not bottom? Well, because there is, because Dovah Sheyesh Matirin is bottom. It amino acids, yes, for Shnayim. That's not true. In fries, it can't be true. The drop is your only is, right? But why is it not bottom? Maybe Shnayim amino. The answer is, what is Beitza? What is Tchum an example of? Why is Tchum in a Dovah Sheyesh Matirin? Because what's going to happen tomorrow? Why is the Yeshua Matirin? I give you the year. So don't go 2009. I can't have any chocolate chip cookies right here by sitting at my table. You want to go take those chocolate chip cookies and eat them 2,000 amas away? That's a problem. Nobody's telling you to do this. That is such a davar mutter. There is zero clash between the Isser and the Heter. And even though there's physical clash, there's no clash. The Rabbanan are not interested in the camera. They don't care what goes on in science. In the world of base matters, the two are too close for comfort. There's no hitnatut. And therefore, Dovah Sheyesh Matirin applies even Shlomimino, even though it normally doesn't. By Chometz, it wouldn't apply. By Chodesh, it wouldn't apply. By Beitza, it wouldn't apply. But here it applies. Because this is super saturated, second higher level, the extreme Dovah Sheyesh Matirin. That's how the Ram Lutheran Gemara said it's based. And based on that, you said, Now what did the Ran say for the punchline? Now we understand the riff. The riffs, Fleishik, Reach, that went into the bread. Gavalt, Geshrigin, the riffs, 3 minutes of bread, you missed the Devashesh Medina. What kind of Devashesh Medina is that bread? That's not a Devashesh Medina in the future. You can eat the bread now, Bashel Sham, just eat it with peanut butter instead of cream cheese. The reach of fleishiks in bread is the halach equivalent of yenim salt in my dough in hilchus tchumin. Those are both examples of davashesh matirim ba'ashehu sham in the hoiveh achshav hayoyim, not in the future, and because they're hayoyim, therefore davashesh matirim kicks in even though it's nimbashen omina. And therefore, according to the Ran, this goddess of the Ran, who in a million years would have thought that the Rif's dough is the same as the Gemara Beitzah's dough? That the Rif's fleshy bread is the same as the dough and Tchumen and Yomtif. In a million years, you wouldn't have connected the dots. And the Ran said, it's exact same sugya. Now again, he couldn't just say it in a vacuum. He had to first explain Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, because that set the stage there, Isa. Then he had to explain why the Rishesh Matirin applies. Then he had to show you why the Rishesh Matirin only applies to Mim B'mino, not B'mim Shein Amino. Then he had to show you why sometimes it applies to B'mim Shein Amino. Just connect the dots, says the Ran. That's what it's being run. Rabbi Yisai, now let's take the Ran for our purposes. What did the Ran just do away with, Rabbi Yisai? Whose sheet just ceased to exist according to the Ran? The Rif sheet, as understood by the Ramban for 100 years before the Ran, no longer is a viable sheet because the Rif never said it. The Rif never disagreed with the Rambam. The Rif never said Davashesh Matirin applies to Mimashen Amino. Nobody said that. It was all a mistake. It was all based on a misunderstanding of the Gemara in the seven Beitz. But when all the dust settles, says the Ran, I leave it the MS. The Gemara in Beitz is irrelevant to our discussion of Chometz. It's very, very important when you learn the sugya of fleshing bread and the Reach. It's very important. It's the model. But it's completely irrelevant to the Rambam's Yerolis. And therefore, when you come back to Maseches Pesachim and you look at the Gemara that says Chos Beis Pasim Vashahu, and the Gemara says, "Hey, wait a second, maybe Mamina being Shalom Mamino," that raises a red flag, because that explains Mamino, but it doesn't explain Shalom Mamino. Chometz is a kind of Doshesh Matirin of what? Of the future. That kind of Doshesh Matirin ain't going to be a problem if it's Mimashen Amino. So there's only one way, if you want to go down the route of the Rambam and call Chometz Doshesh Matirin, you have to fall back on our favorite two words, which we were trying for at least an hour to avoid. What were the two words? You have to fall back on Chum to Chometz, even according to the Rif. So what the Ran just did is it took us an hour to discover that the sheet, the phantom sheet, the Sarif that we thought existed, we thought, the Ramban thought existed, the Ramban still thinks exists. But in the days in Shomalas, the Ran and the Ramban are fighting out, what did the Rif, yes, the Rif, what did the Rif mean? So the Ramban had one reading of the Rif, and then the Ran had this razzle-dazzle reading of the Rif. And that machloikis between the Ramban and the Ran's version, what the Rif did or did not say, will impact that Gemara, because ultimately, push comes to shove, why is Chometz also Shlob Amina? Is it also because of Chumud Chometz, like the Rambam said the Feirish, or is it also because, yeah, every Devashesh material is not also, but it's Shlob Amina? I'm not going to be clear to the Ramban and the Ran. There's two very, very different ways of reading the Rif, reading the Sugas of Beitza, Chumud, and Elk is going to impact on us. So Rabbi says there's only one less Nakuda, which, you know, I can't say we haven't scratched the surface of this sugya. I'm not sure we've been rolled through the sugya, but we've talked about a couple of important things. There's a glaring problem in the sugya, a glaring, glaring problem. We have shown already multiple shittas in Rishonim how to make sense of Rava's statement, Chol Tzatz Chosim Bashu. We saw a bit of Tom couldn't make any sense of it and said that it doesn't exist. We saw Rashi pinned it on Rabbi Yehuda. We saw Tosfos pinned it on Chumash Chometz. We saw the Rambam and most of the Ran's version of the Rif also. We have to stop and ask yourself, wait a second. If the Rambam is so partial, and it makes so much sense, who here thinks Chometz is not a Dovah Shesh? Of course it's a Dovah Shesh. It's going to be written tomorrow. It's going to be written next week. Chometz is obviously a classic Dovah Shesh material. So how come the other Rishon didn't realize that? How come there's a Tosfos a mile long in Chulin, in our Tosfos, that never says the word Dovah Shesh material? The Rishayim, the Rosh, the Taisus, the Mordechai, all the Gedalia Rishayim who learned the whole Sugi Chodes of Asim Mashu, and Dovah Shesh material never entered into their on their radar screen. Rabbi Natam crossed out the word, and Rabbi Natam with Kapaskin, we heard from Shlomo Kapach about this, that Kapaskin, the Chodes of Asim Mashu, the Shiltis and Rabbi Natam held that Chodes of Asim Mashu. What happened to Dovah Shesh material? Is it only the Rambam who came up with this idea that chametz is tovah? Why did anybody else besides the Rambam say this? What is it about chametz that is preventing a whole group of Rishonim, maybe both of Rishonim, from going down the Rav Shem? It seems to be so logical, seems to be so partial. What is the ikur? What is behind the scenes of this huge Tosfos Chulin? We spent a lot of time talking about what Tosfos does say. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have to talk about what Tosfos didn't say. Why didn't Tosfos go down the route of the Rambam? So partial, so obvious. Another question? Okay, after. Okay. Tomorrow, we'll go back to the Rav Shem. We have a shalom tomorrow? Okay. Yeah.